Is more borrowing the solution to Europe's debt problems?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There's a new warning this morning from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD. It says the 17 nations that use the euro are at risk of falling into a severe recession. The OECD is calling on the European Central Bank, that's Europe's version of the Federal Reserve, to do more to stem the crisis. Marketplace's European correspondent, Stephen Beard, is with us now live from London with more. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So what exactly could the European Central Bank do?
Well, what the bank's already done is pump more than $1 trillion into the European banking system in the form of low-interest three-year loans. Now, that held the debt crisis at bay over the winter, but the effect is now waning because of the political turmoil in Greece and the political change in France, the vote against austerity. That has stirred up the crisis again. Now, the European Central Bank could pump in more money, but a longer-term fix, which the OECD is pushing for, and the French favour, are Eurobonds.
Eurobonds. This is a term that's come up before.
That's right. I mean, this is where the 17 governments that use the euro raise money together. They borrow as one. They pool their creditworthiness, if you like. That means they could all raise money at the same relatively low interest rate. So Greece, Spain, Portugal would be able to borrow at a rate much closer to the German level. And one plan is that Eurobonds could raise money to pump into the Eurozone banks to stop them going bust.
But Stephen, this is not the most popular idea across Europe, right?
No. Well, certainly not in Germany. The Germans hate the idea because their borrowing costs would go up. They feel that countries like Greece would be leeching off their German creditworthiness. So they're also worried about moral hazard. I mean, they fear that if you allow countries like Greece to borrow more easily, we'll be back at square one.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, it's been 2 years since the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and today officials will look at one item that was central to the spill, the blowout preventer. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
Blowout preventers are office building-sized machines that sit on the ocean floor, the last line of defense to keep crude from gushing out of a busted oil well. A new one costs up to $50 million. Sounds like a lot.
But small compared to the cost of cleaning up 5 million barrels of oil.
Roger McCarthy helped write the National Academy of Engineering report on blowout preventers. He presents findings to the industry today. McCarthy says offshore oil and gas drillers have self-regulated since the disaster.
I don't think the shortcuts, for lack of a better word, that were taken during the drilling of the Macondo well would be taken by any driller in the Gulf today.
But he says many oil wells still use the same blowout preventer that failed for BP. Only federal regulation can force an industry-wide switch to better technology. Not everyone thinks new blowout preventers are the key.
I think there's some in the industry who think, you know, that they work fine.
Tim Vandenberg at Washington Analytics says it depends on how you see the BP spill, as a human failure or a technical one. Some companies say better training can do just as much good and cost less than new technology. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Finally, the happy music, which means stocks are up in global trading this morning, up 0.8% in London, 0.7% in Frankfurt, and more than 1% in Tokyo. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 135 points to close at 12,504.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
As soon as next week, Southwest Airlines could get clearance to build a brand new international terminal at Houston's Hobby Airport. But United Airlines, which has a huge hub at another Houston airport, is appealing to city officials to keep the plan grounded. From KUHF in Houston, Gail DeLauder reports.
If you want to get an international flight out of Houston, you have to drive about 20 miles to the north to what locals call the big airport, Bush Intercontinental. But discount carrier Southwest wants to start flying to Mexico and the Caribbean. And to do it, Southwest wants to build an international terminal at Hobby Airport. It's a smaller facility about 12 miles south of downtown. United Airlines has launched a huge protest against the move.
In every other example where we look at in the country where you have a split international gateway, that international gateway tends to stagnate or decline.
John Gibo is United's Senior Vice President of Financial Planning. The airline did a study that shows the local economy could lose about $300 million if international passengers are divided between the two airports.
Houston has built a very, very strong connecting hub complex at Intercontinental over the course of the last 40 years. And what that hub complex brings to the city is the ability for airlines, including United, to offer a larger number of flights and a larger number of direct destinations.
The Houston Airport System also did a study. It predicts the local economy would gain about $1.6 billion. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly told a city council committee the airline doesn't want special treatment. It just wants to do business.
We're not asking for tax credits or abatements. We are, in essence, merely asking you to negotiate with us for an amendment to our use and lease agreement.
So why is United fighting so hard against the plan? It's a fear of competition from an airline that offers cheaper flights, according to Rice University business professor Doug Schuler. He says United is going to do all it can to try to persuade city officials to reject the new terminal.
They're going to say, we're legacy carriers. We're the ones who serve these mid-sized cities, and those budget carriers aren't going to go there.
Officials in the nation's fourth largest city are expected to make a decision on the new international terminal by the end of the month. In Houston, I'm Gail DeLauder for Marketplace.
And finally to the UK, where the Environment Agency wants to get rid of the term drought. Officials say drought is too blunt of a word and often conjures up images of dry riverbeds and cracked soil. One new term they're considering? Environmental stress due to rainfall deficit. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.